Jesus wins, Satan loses. Commentary for the April 1st, 2023 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Luke 10, verse 18. The best place to start all stories is in the beginning. And those very words, "in the beginning," are in the first verse of the Bible. We might therefore be excused for thinking that is where everything began. But it is only the beginning of humanity in our world. Much more happened before that took place. Before God spoke an Edenic earth into being, there was heaven. It is a dwelling place of God and myriad angels. It was a paradise of harmony and beauty. Eden, the home of humanity, was a reflection of that beauty, and God loved to walk through that garden with Adam and Eve. How it must have broken his heart when they no longer wished to walk with him. They were hidden in the garden, and he was forced to call to them. I could almost hear the tears in his voice as he felt the rejection of their creator. But this is not the beginning of the story. God is love, and when he creates beings, he wishes them to be loving also, to be in his image. In order to do that, he must create them with free will, because love is a choice. It cannot be commanded. Love means trust and a willingness to serve one another's needs. It cannot coexist with fear and deceit. Nonetheless, one must be free to choose those negative paths if the love is to be genuine and without coercion. It was a risk for God to trust his creation with choice in order for them to love. But he took that risk. All went well until one day, one of the angels, who were also created beings, told the first lie. That angel, who was Lucifer, came to be known as Satan. The Bible tells us that pride in his beauty and his ambition to rise above his station led him astray. Like a social media influencer, he began to build a following. It wasn't hard, since no one had lied before. He invented it. But like modern-day conspiracy theories, the lies took on a life of their own and spread throughout heaven until a third of the angels joined with Satan and backed his campaign to take over heaven. The threat had to be addressed. A universe of love could not have lies for a foundation. The erosion of trust had already become evident. In the end, the angels supporting God confronted those following Satan, and war broke out. Satan did not have the power to prevail, and with his followers, he was cast to the earth. The earth then became a theater for acting out the remaining scenes of the conflict between a kingdom of lies and one of love. Unfortunately, to this day, much of humanity would still choose a lie over love. It has split countries, governments, and churches, much as heaven was split. Lies are enticing because they tell us what we want to hear, what we want to believe about ourselves and others. They tell us that we are always right, and the others cannot be trusted. They tell us that we should not believe the ideas about love, that we are only being manipulated to surrender our liberties and our possessions. Ironically, this is the whole purpose of lies, and the liar is projecting their own persona onto others. As this develops, the world does not become more loving. It becomes more fractious, more fearful. While love drives out fear, lies establish it. Much of this can be seen in the political arena. Rarely does a candidate provide an extensive list of what they plan to do to bring about peace and prosperity. Instead, they inculcate fear into the minds of the voters by fantasizing all the horrors their opponent is ready to bring to pass. For instance, Republicans tell the voters the Democrats will take all your guns, and the Democrats tell the voters the Republicans will eliminate Social Security benefits. Neither of these tropes has come to pass. Even though the lies have been perpetuated for all 7 decades of my life and before. Despite that, fear brings out the voters and the campaign contributions. So the lies continue. Instead of believing the lies, we would be better off to ask, what does the one stirring up those fears seek to gain by doing so? The resume of one individual elected to Congress in the last general election was discovered to consist almost entirely of lies. While some were shocked at the blatancy, he was nonetheless seated in Congress. It is almost as though those who elected him were saying, yes, he's a liar, but he's my liar. Satan's attempts to project his lies onto God, portraying him as one to be feared and to be controlling and restricting the freedoms of the angels, found more reception than deserved. It is true here as well. Cast to the earth, he set about subverting humanity's relationship to God, a relationship based on love, truth, and trust. His plan worked well, for they also had not been lied to before. Even though the lie was in direct contradiction to what God had said, they rejected the relationship of love with God, and through fear that they were missing out on something that Satan told them they deserved, they followed the lie and the liar. But God did not want to lose the love of humanity, so he told them of a way back to that loving relationship. That plan would take thousands of years to fully develop, but those who remained faithful would one day see Eden and the Tree of Life again. What was lost would be restored. But Satan would do all in his power to prevent that. The lengths he is willing to go through are seen in the book of Job, who suffered greatly under his assaults. In Job's case, God protected the man's life and restored his fortune after his suffering. Many others have paid with their lives for choosing to dwell in God's love rather than in the fear Satan would give them. Isaiah was sawn in two by evil King Manasseh. John the Baptist was beheaded by licentious King Herod. Stephen was stoned to death by the wicked Pharisees. Many, many others have followed these faithful men into martyrdom for standing for the truth in the face of those who would manipulate others through lies and fear. We tend to think of the church as the great defender of truth. But as we have seen with Stephen, his slayers were zealous for the church. Through the ages, the faithful have suffered much from persecution by zealous churchgoers. Crusades and inquisitions have sent many to their graves in hope of a vindicating resurrection. Sadly, the degree to which Satan has subverted even the church is evident from a similar spirit that continues to find its home in sacred precincts. Despite warnings against rooting others from the church, some covet positions of power and influence in the church to do exactly that. And worse, they encourage others to follow in their path, handing them stones to throw at those who would challenge denominational dogma. The courage of those martyred, either physically or spiritually, is admirable. Despite all that the church might do to smear their reputation or end their influence, they go on, sustained not by church coffers, but solely by the love of God. They have tasted from that cup offered by Christ, and after that, nothing can equal its sweetness. As the hymn says, the things of earth go strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. After thousands of years of misery promoted by Satan and his followers, many have only seen fear as the basis for how they should live their lives, even projecting that fear onto God. A popular lie that has become almost universal in its spread is, God is going to get you for that. Many have drawn back from a relationship with God for fear that he will do as those accusing God would have us believe. But when they do, rarely do those refusing the relationship become more loving as a result. But those who remain despite the lie often find themselves becoming more loving than they ever envisioned. Some have traveled to the most remote hovels in the darkest places on the planet to love the people they find there. Some have lost their lives doing so. But there is also darkness, and the lost can be found, even within our families and our churches. Continuing to love those we find there is every bit as challenging. While the laws may discourage those who would slay someone who shares God's love with them, we nonetheless risk becoming dead to that family member if fear has taken hold to the extent that they find it impossible to see God as loving and sever a relationship with us as well as God. Jesus made it possible for us to once again see the loving image of God and his offer to restore that love in us as well, driving out fear. But the struggle between a life lived in love versus a life lived in fear, engendered by lies, continues as we wait for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that he will come again. As it was in the beginning, so it is today. Love is a choice. Choose love. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the footnotes giving the scriptures supporting some of the ideas in the podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at that location. May God richly bless you and your family.